I don't know if you have a sense of it or not, but every week it seems like God's presence is getting richer and fuller. And it's not because we're not praying, it's because we are praying. E.W. Kenyon said, the manifest presence of the power of God equals the prayer power in a house. So the more we pray, the more the power of God becomes manifest among us. And so we live with that expectancy. I don't know where you are today, but I believe in my life, and probably in yours too, you may be at a place that you need a breakthrough in your life. You know, we saw breakthroughs happening this morning. I'll say to you that God is nowhere where He wants to be with us in our lives. This may be your absolute first time at Shiloh. You may have been here for 38 years or more. Doesn't matter where you're at in this process, I can assure you that there are situations in every one of our lives that we need a breakthrough. You see, we need not to be moving backward, we need to be moving forward. And that's what a breakthrough is about getting past where we are to where God wants us to be. You see, we have to break through obstacles and stubborn resistance. It may be this morning in your area of finances or your marriage or your kids. You know, that boss at work. It may be things that surround you when you go out into the public. But there are walls standing before us that have kept us from entering God's absolute best for what He has already predetermined since He knew who you are to get us to where we need to be. For all that to happen, it's going to take you to surrender yourself. Just as the song says, all I am is yours. And when we come to that place, then I assure you that even today, God is already postured for a breakthrough in your behalf and your situation right where you are. Because through the scriptures, He's already declared in your behalf that I am the God of the breakthrough. I will bring you through this, no matter how difficult it is, no matter the things that you faced in your life, He's going to see you through to the other side, and it's going to be victorious in Him. I want to remind you this morning of the story of David. And he had a breakthrough when he faced strong battles after he was anointed king. And the word tells us that when he was anointed king, that people recognized, number one, he was anointed king. I assure you that when you receive the Lord into your life, people know you made that decision. Not only do they know, but the demons in hell all know. They know you made a decision. Now, all of a sudden, you are going to be resisted and confronted in every area of your life like never before. No different with David. 2 Samuel 5:17-25 we'll be reading. When the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, some of the Philistines went up to seek out David. No, it says all of them went to seek out David. And when David heard of it, he went down to the stronghold. Now that the Philistines came and spread themselves out in the valley of Rephaim, then David inquired of the Lord, saying, "What will you give them into my hand? Shall I go up against them?" And the Lord said to David, "Go up, for I will certainly give the Philistines into your hand." So David came to Baal Perazim and defeated them there. And he said, "The Lord has broken through my enemies before me, like the breaking through of waters." Therefore he named the place Baal Perazim. And they abandoned their idols there, so David and his men carried them away. David first inquired of the Lord. Too many times what we do is we try to work it out our own way first, because we think that we got all the answers and we know what's best for our situation. He inquired of the Lord to go after the Philistines and said, "Will you deliver them to me?" Then the Lord said, "Yes." Then David obeyed the Lord. And when he obeyed the Lord, he went into the battle, and the battle was credited not to David, but it was credited to the Lord. You see, if we're looking to build ourselves up and get all the credit, you're going to probably be destroyed in the process. But when we can come to a place to say, the battle is the Lord's, and give it to Him, He is the one that's going to give us the breakthrough when we need the breakthrough. Amen? You see, David was positioned in a valley. More specifically, the scripture says he was in the valley of Rephaim. Now, as I look throughout this congregation, I understand that there are many that have your own valleys. But understand that it was in the valley where David was that he actually came out and received a victory. It's in your valley where it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil." Now, let me just tell you what my interpretation of this is. In the face of your enemy, in the face of your valley, is where God anoints your head with oil. It's when you are faced with difficulties and circumstances that you don't understand that the anointing of God suddenly comes into your life and begins to drive before you the presence of the enemy that's trying to destroy you, because God is the one that is the yoke breaker. The anointing that breaks the yoke in every one of your lives causes you to rise up victoriously in the name of the Lord. He anoints our head. You see, He is the God of the breakthrough in the valley. Let's take a look at the word breakthrough. Webster tells us breakthrough is defined as a sudden, dramatic, important discovery or development, especially in science. A significant and dramatic overcoming a perceived obstacle. Do you have an obstacle you need to overcome? Allowing completion of the process. Sometimes we don't allow the process to be completed. The word breakthrough means breaking through an obstacle or a restriction. A military offensive that penetrates an enemy's line of defense and warfare. I want to assure you today, this is not a game. We are in warfare. You are in warfare. The enemy could care less about you. What he cares about is the anointing that you carry in your life. What he's after is not you. He is after to destroy the anointing in you that flows through you, out of you, to others, to break the barriers that people have in their life. Spiritually, it means that God breaks open a new realm in the spirit, and he brings us through to the other side. Too often we are trying to accomplish it with our own power, with our own strength, but God has a breakthrough for you. I don't know if I can even describe to you what I saw this morning. When I was meditating on this scripture and seeing how God wants to break through for every one of us, what I saw was God and the heavenlies. You struggling with all the stuff that you have. It was like clouds, but then I saw God's hand as a fist. And what he did is he punched through that cloud with his fist. And when he punched through the cloud, he grabbed you on the other side. And when he grabbed you on the other side, he pulled you back through to this side. Because you see, he's the God of the breakthrough, because sometimes we just need God to come on board and just snatch us back from where we are to the other side so we can have the victory where we're trying to get on through. You see, you don't go back. You got to keep going forward. You don't go back to the things that you've done in the past. Lord, thank God. I think you know what I'm saying. I've come through some stuff. Let me tell you, the stuff that you've come through is only preparation for the anointing that you're going to have. Because God's bringing you to a place, he's going to release some new stuff in you that you can overcome more than you had in the past, because now you're victorious in him. We need to progress and move forward. We need to take the things that we've been through in the past. I often say things like this, and you know around here we do missions conferences and a lot of coordination and women's conferences, all kind of stuff. Every time we say, we've learned not what to do, we're not going to do that again. We learned a good lesson. And each one of our lives, the stuff that we've come through, we need to learn, we're not going to do that again. We know what the end result was already, and it wasn't good. So I'm not going to do that again. We're going to push forward to the place that God's got us going. Because we're going to have a major breakthrough in our lives. David gained ground from the enemy. He drove him all the way back to Gibeon to Gezer. Gezer means cut down or cut off. To snatch, to cut something off. Are there some stuff you would need to cut off? of your life. Okay, do it. Say, in the name of Jesus, I cut this, whatever you were saying, off in my life today. Raise your hand. Come on. I cut it off in the name of the Lord. Jesus' name. Cut it off like a knife. You see, we must take our territory back from the enemy. As we look at Mark 2, I want to talk to you about five keys to your breakthrough. Mark 2, 1 through 5. And when he come back to Capernaum, several days afterwards, it was heard that he was at home. And many would gather together so that there was no longer room even near the door, and he was speaking the word to them. And they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men, and being unable to get to him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him, and when they had dug an opening, they let down the pallet on which the paralytic was lying. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, my son, your sins are forgiven. The first thing that we must do in order to have breakthrough in our life is to make room for Jesus. Too many times we squeeze Jesus out of our life. We must understand that there is a difference between omnipresence and the manifested presence of God. Omni means God Himself is every place at the same time. I mean, He can be over here with Pastor Marge and at your seat at the same time. He can be on the platform and with Tig in his chair and touch him one day and he jumps up and starts running around the church. The omnipresence of God is everywhere all over the world at the same time. Jeremiah 23:23 says, I am God that is near and not a God that is far off. That almost sounds like you can reach out and just touch him because he's right there. He's there when you need him. He's even there when you don't need him. Because he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you even until the end of the world. Manifest presence in our language is like this. It would be the Holy Spirit of God choosing, him choosing, not us choosing, to reveal his presence in one place at one time in such a tangible way that you feel it, you hear it, and you can often smell it. I can tell you that during revival, and some of you were here and some of you were not, when the presence of God was just so real for such a long time in Shiloh. And I tell you, that day is not like it's coming. What's coming is unprecedented to what we saw then. But there was a time on 200 North Avenue, I was face down many times on the rug. And what I smelled was like roses just filled the room. And Jesus spoke and he said, I am the rose of Sharon. Now I tell you, you can feel his presence, but there's time when there's a manifested presence of God that is going to be so thick in this house that you're going to be able to almost reach out and touch it. It's going to be tangible. But sometimes we get the omnipresence of God, all mixed up with it, the manifested presence of God. We don't need to be seeking His manifest presence. We need to be seeking Him. We don't need to be seeking His hand. We need to be seeking His face. When you seek His face, you get down before Him. Cry out to Him. And He said, I will hear you and answer you, Jeremiah 33:3, in your day of trouble. Because you'll come on the scene when you need Him the most. To walk in the manifested presence of God, we need to examine our image management versus our authentic living management. Image management is like this. I'm going to present myself in such a way that people think of me as how I want them to think of me. Is how you present yourself or how you want to be thought of or perceived by other people. Authentic living management is like this. I said it like this, not really trying to do a take on the ladies that wear makeup. But I'm saying that authentic living management is when all the makeup comes off. And you go home and you look in the mirror. And on the outside, you're not seeing the wrinkles, but all of a sudden, the makeup is gone, and now the wrinkles are really standing out. Or when the lights go out, it's who you really are before God. Too many times, we're trying to impress God. I tell you, He's not impressed by you. We need to get into His face and know His heart. Mark 2, which we've read before, but in verse 3, and they came bringing to Him a paralytic carried by four men. The second key to breakthrough is to be able to overcome your paralysis. The crippled man did not have a defeated mentality. Too often as Christians or non-Christians, we begin to say, look what God did to me. God didn't do nothing to you. You did it to yourself. Look at how you walked, how you thought, how you've talked. Just by the essence of the way that you've carried yourself, you have opened doors and gateways that has allowed the enemy to come in. And as a result of that, you have been defeated in your walk with the Lord. You need to ask yourself this morning, what has paralyzed me? Perhaps some of us are paralyzed by influences, condemning past chronic habits and fears, habitual sins, or just fear of the future. We certainly don't know what tomorrow holds. But I assure you this, I know who holds tomorrow. And that you can hang your hat on. At any cost, pick yourself up, no matter where you are. Pick yourself up, make your way to the Lord, because He is the Lord of the breakthrough. Thirdly, in order to receive your breakthrough, you have to be in the right company. Your circle of friends matter. Some you will have to leave behind. Genesis 13:14 says this, Abram and Lot were on a journey. And they came to a place, and I'm sure there had been some talk among them. They were not just happy campers. But all of a sudden, the scripture tells us in Genesis 13:14 that now they are departing company. One decides to go one way, one decides to go another way. And then the Lord spoke to Abram, and here's what he said. Now, let me show you. Before, there was no now in Abram's life. But when he made a decision to depart from the very thing that was hindering him in his life, the thing that had bound him down, trapped him in, held him back, the Lord began to speak to him, says, now let me show you. Look to the north, the south, the east, and the west. See all the stars that are around. As far as you can see, I am going to expand your borders, and this is going to be a nation that is unto me. I say to you this morning, because you are entrapped sometimes by your friends and your surroundings, until you choose to let go of some of those, you'll never move into the destiny that God has prepared for you from the foundations of the earth. But when you begin to say, no, I'm not going there anymore, I'm not doing that anymore, God's going to release you into that which He has for you. Show me your friends. That will be an indicator of what you will look like in the future. Mark 2:4 says, being unable to get to him because of the crowd, they remove the roof above him. And when they had dug an opening, they let down the pallet on which the paralytic was lying. Refuse to be denied. The paralytic had a good attitude, but they refused to turn back. I'm going to get there no matter what it takes. Pushing through. We have to adopt a new mindset. I was thinking about the woman with the issue of blood. The scriptures tells us that the crowd was so thick there, she couldn't get through. Somehow she had to push her way through. She was over there saying, get out of my way. I got to get to Jesus. No, I'm not going to get out of your way. I was here first. I don't care if you were here first. I'm going to get my stuff up there because Jesus is the one that has it. Don't let anybody get in your way. If you have to push them, shove them, thrust them out of the way, push yourself through until you get to Jesus. Do not be denied that which God has already said is yours. If we know the promises of the Word of God, and the Word of God is true, is alive, is active, and is for you, we need to begin to live the Word of God like it is real, and it is real. It has been promised already. It is already for you, for now, not for the future, but for this day, it is for you. I would rather be inconvenient and receive a miracle than complacent and lose my blessing. You can sit in the back of the church all you want to. But when the anointing of the altar is here, you need to be in the flow of the anointing, because that's where you're going to receive your breakthrough. We must remove the lid of human limitations. All of us can look at our backgrounds. Thank God we don't have to stay there. We've all had tough lives. Many times I've said my parents didn't know what it's like to rub two nickels together. But that doesn't need to limit us where God's taken us. Parents have said evil, bad, condemning, boxed in things that have entrapped all of us. But it's time for us to kick out the ends and get out of the box, because God has much better for us in the future than He has, than has been for us in the past. You see, you can look at Gideon and Moses. They had their limitations, and they all tried to make their excuses, as you have. But we're coming into a season in the church. There is no time or reason for excuses in the house of God. We got to get about the Father's business and doing what He's called us to do once and for all. There's a harvest coming, and for that harvest to coming, there has to be reapers who are ready to gather in the harvest. And if we're so messed up with our own stuff, still dealing with that, my hurts, my wounds, my whatevers, how are we going to manage, disciple, the harvest that God's bringing? Get ready. I believe that we're in a time right now that God is going to begin to use the nameless, the faceless, and the next move of His Spirit. We can look all throughout history at revivals that have happened. And we can go back and name all the revivalists. Everybody tried to put their name on a billboard and raise it up and say who they are. I assure you that the day is coming that nobody's going to know who's leading it. Nobody's going to know who the name of that person is. The only thing they're going to look up and say, His name is Jesus. He's the leader, and He's the one that's causing this. No name, no face, but the anointed presence of God in our midst. You're not what others have said you are. You are what God said you are. And not only what He said, but what He made you. Regarding David, it applies to our life as well. When he was anointed king, he was marked in the natural. And in the spirit, he was sought out by enemies. You're marked in the spirit. The enemy comes for the anointing that you have. He really doesn't care too much about us. What he cares about is the anointing. Tommy Tenney said this. He said that the giants that you faced today is consumer it with the anointing that God's giving you. You may have a big giant today, but you're going to overcome that giant because as you come through it, there's going to be a greater anointing that you have on the other side than when you began on that side. It is the anointing that breaks the yoke. Today I would ask you to begin to identify what your enemy is. It could be your time. It could be anger. It could be frustration. It could be your marriage. It could be all kind of things. But I would say in your heart, begin to just ask God, what is that thing that is the enemy? What is that thing that has me paralyzed already that I can't move on? Right now and today is time to say, no more. I'm not going to let that happen anymore in my life. Devil, it's over. Devil, it is over. No more in my life will I allow this to happen. Nothing will stand in my way. I will have my breakthrough. I will remove the lid. I will push past the crowds. And I'll receive all that God has for me today. Romans 4:17 says this. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they already did. Amen. Let's stand together this morning. I can assure you today that there's a breakthrough for you. And what the Lord's wanting us to do is not look to our past, but look to our future. And declaring that those things that begin to treat them as if they already are in existence. Treat that death, that anger, that frustration, all those things in your life. And if you're going to get a breakthrough, you're going to have to push through the crowds to get to Jesus. I'm going to open the altar as we just begin to seek the Lord a little bit. Just talk.